He is the most interesting man in radio.
My friends, there is only one place I like to come to talk in the morning. It is with Rob Pratt. He is even more interesting than I am. Stay listening, my friends. This is News Radio 1020, KDKA.
No music to begin this hour as we approach 10 minutes after 7, but we do begin with this.
Mr. Speaker, on Wednesday, October 12th, tragedy struck my hometown of Lowerboro, Pennsylvania. That night, police officer Derek Kotecki was shot during an armed confrontation with a wanted criminal. He is believed to be the first Lowerboro police officer ever to be killed in the line of duty. Patrolman Kotecki was a 1989 graduate of Borough High School and had been a local police officer for 18 years. At the time of his death, Patrolman Kotecki was Lowerboro's canine officer and a regular and respected face at community events throughout the year. I ask my colleagues to join me in praying for the family he left behind. We hope that his wife, two sons, and parents know that Lowerboro will always remember Derek's bravery and valor. He died serving the community he loved, and for that, we are forever grateful.
A 1986 graduate of Lowerboro, and this really did hit home. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Altmaier. Jason, of all the things you have done in your professional life in government as a congressman, that had to be one of the toughest. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Yeah, that's one of the toughest because it was personal because it's where I'm from, but yeah, we have had this happen in western Pennsylvania, obviously much more frequently than we would have liked. And, you know, it when it happens in a place like Lowerboro, where it's never happened before, it does show you that it can happen anywhere. And the fact that the shooter was also from Borough High School, you have the extremes of what can happen in a person's life. And it just really hits home in a way for Lowerboro, I think, that's different than anything that's ever happened there before.
Jason, what is going on in the world today? You know, and I've talked to a number of district attorneys and law enforcement officers, investigators, and it all seems to come down to drugs. And I must tell you, too, the economy being the way it is, people not working, trying to find ways to make money, they fall into a bad trap, if you will, and it goes from bad to worse. But just in your opinion, what's happening and why are these violent crimes on the rise? Because as you said, it doesn't happen in Lowerboro, and I can tell you and attest to what's happened in my beloved Beaver County. There are things that go on there, even though the police force is doing everything they can. It's a tough fight. It's an uphill battle because it just continues to escalate every day. You have drug deals gone bad, murders on a regular basis, and it's not just happening in the inner city anymore. What's going on right now?
Right. Yeah, you and I have seen it happen in Beaver County, in places where, you know, violent crime has become a regular occurrence. And again, now when it happens in places that haven't experienced it before, it does show that it's not just in one place. It can expand and go into other areas. And in this case, as in most cases, it looks like drugs played a meaningful role in how this individual got to the downward spiral that led to the tragedy at the end of his life. And certainly that's part of the problem that we're seeing in some of these other areas of western Pennsylvania, too. But, I don't want to play amateur psychologist. This was obviously a very troubled individual who it was not going to end well for him. In any event, he was on a very quick downward spiral, but unfortunately he chose to take a very violent turn at the end.
Let me ask you this, and do you kind of feel a sense of urgency when it comes to trying to find jobs and to rejuvenate areas that have fallen on hard times, because you understand what that can do to a family when the money is not coming in and a man is being challenged as far as, you know, what he believes to be his duty, his God-given duty, is to raise his family, to go out and be the breadwinner. It puts strains on marriages. It puts strains on family. Does that weigh heavy on your mind from time to time?
That is a big part of the challenge we face as a country. When you talk about our education system and investing in our future and making sure that every child has an opportunity in the beginning, I mean, nobody has a guarantee, but everybody should have an opportunity and being able to do something with your life, and no matter what the circumstances of your birth and where you grow up. And then you have the economy when you're an adult and you're working and you are downsized or there's outsourcing, you lose your job for whatever reason, And yes, as you said, that puts an incredible strain financially and emotionally on the individual and the family. And all of these things add up to circumstances that can lead people to make bad choices in life. And unfortunately, that's what happened in this case.
And you know, too, you have this thing called peer pressure in our society today because it's a Madison Avenue lifestyle that many of these teenagers live. You and I grew up in an era. You had those two pair of jeans, and you better not ruin them both, and you had a pair of tennis shoes to go to school or to play sports and one to go kick around in. You would hang on to your old shoes. You would wear hand-me-downs. Everybody ate the same meal. It wasn't as though seven people were eating something different because that wasn't what they liked that was put on the table originally. Times were a little different then. You weren't out buying, you know, these thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Xbox games, and the world was different. People weren't in private schools. It was public schools. There was a tax base. So we are in challenging times right now, and parents really have an uphill battle. And I've said this before, whether it is the man or the woman, I do believe someone has to be around the children more than just a few hours a day because they need that anchor, if you will. But sad to say, and no fault of the parents, it's economically almost impossible for them to do that. So this is just a number of things that really adds to the mix that makes it a more difficult time to live in today, right?
And the immediacy of information, where now children can access the entire world at their fingertips over the internet. And that's a wonderful thing if used correctly, but of course there you can access things that you shouldn't also, and that might send a child down the wrong road too. And then these are things that we haven't had to deal with before, and the parents often aren't technologically savvy. They don't understand the internet. They don't understand what's out there. And sometimes in the schools that's the case too, where things evolve so quickly that the learning curve even is on the side of the teacher. And trying able to keep up with what's out there. So it is going to be a challenge moving forward to make sure that we're using all of these wonderful things appropriately.
Well, let me tell you, when we come back, you're going to understand why this guy is really revered by so many because of the things that he does for his district and the area. He's got a job fair coming up, and some of the people that are going to be there, pretty amazing. To get these people all in the same room at one time, I don't know how his staff did it, but they did it. We'll talk about that and much more with Congressman Jason Altmaier next, 716.
We're Pittsburgh's source for local news and talk. News Radio 1020, KDKA. You're locked into The Rob Pratt Show. It's what Pittsburgh's talking about. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, now listen to this. We're back. Jason Altmaier's here, 49 degrees, 720. He's going to have a job fair, Community College, Golden Dome, October the 19th. That's this week. Employers confirmed to participate include Westinghouse, Shell, PA Cyber, PPG, Consol Energy, BNY Mellon, UPMC, BASF, Highmark, EQT, Michael Baker, UPS, GE, Hitachi, Elwood Equity, Steels, Prudential, Mitsubishi Electrical Power Products, Calgon Carbon, I could just go, U.S. Secret Service, Heritage Valley Health System, ATI, Allegheny Ludlam, Traco, Alcoa Windows, who else? Nova Chemicals, Allegheny County Airport Authority, Comcast Cable, Coventry Healthcare, Federal Air Marshal Service, and Jamison Healthcare, and MedExpress. You spare no expense when it comes to your district, Congressman. How in the world did you pull all those people together for this job fair, October the 19th at the Community College Golden Dome?
This is something that grew out of the fact that whenever I go around the district, I hear two different things. I always, everywhere I go, hear companies tell me, we have jobs available, we just can't find people to fill them. And of course, you hear the opposite, which is the prevailing view from people saying, I'm looking for work. I want to find a job, and I can't find anyone to hire me. And the unemployment rate, of course, is unacceptably high. So I wanted to find a way to partner those two views. And we found Community College of Beaver County as the venue under the dome, as you say. And we are going to have from 9 to 1 on Wednesday, October 19th. So it's this coming Wednesday. 85 different companies from Western Pennsylvania, and the only requirement for them to be there was they have to have a job available. That's it. So every company there is hiring. So if you're out there looking for work, maybe looking for a change in careers, I can't imagine there's a better place to be on Wednesday with 85 different companies. And in addition, we have some outside people coming in to run workshops for us to talk about resume writing and positioning yourself for the job search and how to get a job in different branches of the government, different branches of the private sector. Everything you can imagine is going to be there, and it's the community really came together to make this happen.
Well, let me just say congratulations on that. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, you at one time lobbyist UPMC, you understand healthcare probably better than anyone other than those who work in the profession. I love Highmark. I have great relationships there from Mr. Milani on down. There's thousands of people's jobs at stake. I have Highmark as far as my health care, UPMC visionaries as well, chief legal counsel for many years, Bob Sindrich, a friend. I could go on and on. Please, Jason, how do we get this resolved?
The best outcome would be for UPMC and Highmark to come to some sort of agreement and continue to work together and have everyone in Western Pennsylvania be basically under the same insurance umbrella, the same provider network working together. I don't know that that's going to be the outcome. And if it's not, then we're going to have in our region what happens in most regions of the country, and that's a divided healthcare network. We haven't had that in Western PA, where you've had multiple dominant providers and insurers in the same marketplace. And you know when it's open season and you're picking your health plan each year, that with that comes a network of providers, and if you go outside that network, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. That is certainly not the outcome we're hoping for, but that is what happens in most other parts of the country.
But Jason, here's what I'm worried about. There's going to be a loser somewhere, and that's going to cost jobs. And look, the last thing that we can have happen is jobs. So aren't the I know Doc Milani, I don't know Mr. Romoff, and I also know there's like a separate division at UPMC that Mr. Sindrich and them are not really even involved with the healthcare aspect of it. But don't they? I know he doesn't want to lose jobs. Doc Milani is, I mean, and I got to believe down deep they don't want to lose jobs, but someone's going to lose jobs.
Well, the subplot of this whole thing that doesn't get talked about nearly enough is that Highmark has saved the West Penn Allegheny system again.
Again, you're right.
And they put at least $500 million of their own money on top of everything they've done up to this point. And if they can make that work, that's going to save hundreds and probably thousands of jobs that easily could have been lost if that system had gone under.
And possibly add jobs.
Yeah, hopefully. And many people expected that without Highmark's intervention, that was not going to be a good outcome for the West Penn system in the very near future. So Highmark already has taken that step, and having two competing, eventually thriving and growing health systems, that would be a good thing for our community. That's not where we are right now. It's not a head-to-head fair fight. But I think with Highmark's help, that's something that could be evolve into in the future.
Well, but here's the thing. I got to believe if UPMC doesn't get involved in the insurance industry, Highmark doesn't get involved in the healthcare business. But I also think that they felt a need because they realized that many of their subscribers, if you will, are those who go to Allegheny General. And I got to believe, from what I've learned being around the people at Highmark, competition is the best form of flattery. And you want to do the best possible job. But we also, I don't think people should start to think that Highmark is now going to start going out and buying hospitals all over the place. I think this was a one-stop shop, and I think they did it more for their subscribers than anything else. But I also think the fact that UPMC decided to get into the insurance business had to infuriate them a little bit.
I know that it did, and Highmark chose this course of action because that was all that was available to them. You know, their choice was to be completely frozen out of the market or play a more dominant role in the provider side, which they hadn't done up to this point. So they chose that, and it's going to take a lot of struggle and a lot of money and a lot of uncertainty for them to grow that system into where it can compete, head to head in a way that hasn't happened in Western Pennsylvania in a very long time. But that's really the only viable option Highmark had if they weren't able to agree to terms on the contract.
Well, explain to me again, even though they've got a campus in Swickley and they've got one in our neck of the woods, your district in Beaver County, number one employer, How is Norm Mitchie and that board continue to fly under the radar and do nothing but succeed? What are they doing different than anybody else? Tell me.
Heritage Valley has done a great job of positioning themselves for the region that they serve, that Beaver County and now Sewickley area. They offer great health care. They have the top-of-the-line providers. Their information technology system is as good as anywhere in the country, not just Western Pennsylvania, but the country, and the advances that they've made and the innovations. So they continue to make the right decisions and do the right things, and they're partnering with both Highmark and UPMC and other providers in the area in ways that benefit the patients and the people that they serve. So I really think they're a model for what, not just in Western Pennsylvania, but for the country, what healthcare should look like.
Well, let me tell you this. I've known Doc Maloney a long time, and I don't see him budging at all in this situation. He has taken definitely a stand. You got to give him credit for that. I hope both parties just cooler heads prevail and they get this thing done. We'll be back. Much more with Jason Altmyer in a moment.
When political races heat up, get the candidates here.
It's D. Raja and Rich Fitzgerald.
He's got the highest tax in the history of Allegheny County.
The drink tax.
Hotel tax, car rental tax. I can go on and on.
They call us a cereal taxer.
It's either drink or property tax.
Correct.
That is not true at all.
It is absolutely true.
Have to do one or the other. Anybody who tells you they're going to lower the drink tax is going to raise your property tax.
Leave blatant lies.
He can call me a liar all he wants, but that's what he's going to do.
There's only one. News Radio 1020 KDKA. It's what Pittsburgh's talking about.
Talking is a good thing.
It's the Rob Pratt Show. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
We're back, 7:37. You know, Joe Dantisi is now an official member of Beaver County. He's got Coons Market in Hopewell. Coming up tomorrow on the Coons Cooking Hour is the famous Beaver County, and Lou Pappin used to say, chicken, chicken, and more chicken. We're going to have to get him on the show sometime with Joe. But we're going to have Chef from Shadow Lakes, Art Mangi, a number of years for the Sebastian family. Of course, Alex at the Wooden Angel, now at Shadow Lakes, doing a great job. Great guy, lots of life, full of life. He'll be joining us to talk about some of his favorite ways to prepare chicken, and I was actually watching him do some cooking yesterday in the beautiful kitchen at Shadow Lakes, and looking forward for Art Mangini's debut on KDKA coming up tomorrow. Now, Jason Altmyer, speaking of Aliquippa, I'm going to continue to sound this trumpet until somebody finally hears me, and I know from what I'm hearing, you're out doing a great job promoting it as well. Chuck Betters is a guy who has done it the old-fashioned way. From the time at 15, started plumbing houses on his own, building houses at 16. He's from the streets of Aliquippa. He's proud of it. He has done some remarkable things, Adams Ridge and Cranberry. I could go on and on and on. But he had a pet peeve, a project, and that was to rejuvenate and to recycle all of that steel down at the old J&L site. And he has just, I mean, it's pristine. It would be a childhood dream come true to take your Tonka trucks down to this place. It's amazing, but it's just ripe for the picking, the future. He's got a brand new dock. He's got the river. He's got the rail with Norfolk Southern. And I know you more than anyone would like to see something come there that could actually bring thousands of jobs. And that truly is, I think, this is what's on Chuck's mind 24/7. Ain't about money. The guy has been successful. He deserves it. But it's about giving jobs, giving hope. And this is just not a Beaver County thing. So we're not being a homer here because you're the congressman from that district and I am from that area. But this is something that could benefit that feeder system from the Cranberry area, from Allegheny, Beaver, Butler, Lawrence, Washington County. If this could come to fruition over the next 5 years or so, we could see growth like we've never seen it before. Please tell me you're doing everything humanly possible to make this come true.
We all are doing everything at the I'm at the federal level, of course, and we're working with the companies that are looking at that land, Shell in particular, with the big cracker project that they're going to announce in western Pennsylvania, eastern Ohio, or West Virginia.
Tell the audience, tell Jason, I don't mean to interrupt, but please explain to the audience what that project is.
Well, it has to do with this natural gas boom that we're having in western Pennsylvania, and this would be a employ on the construction side hundreds of people, and probably over time thousands of people, for good-paying both skilled and labor jobs. And when you look at that site and the industrial heritage and the access to water, I don't think there's any better place for this type of project. Now, my understanding is that decision is going to be made by the end of the year. We are sort of, with Chuck's help, I think best positioned of anybody, because that site, as you described, is already prepared for people to come in and start doing the construction. But this would be something that would rejuvenate that area in Aliquippa and in Beaver County like nothing we could ever have imagined.
Could this be our Cranberry's Westinghouse? Could it be that big?
Yes. Oh, it could. It could be similar to what the steel mill was when it was rolling decades ago at that site.
That big, Jason.
That's what we're talking about. And there's spinoffs. That's only the first step. But that just continues to give Western Pennsylvania a foothold in that natural gas industry. We have the resources, and this would continue to build our employment and our economic development as well.
You know, here's the thing, too, that I've noticed about this, and I'm so proud. You know, by the way, if you want to hear the interview that I had with State Senator John Pippa, you can now go to kdkradio.com and click on Heard on News Radio 1020 KDK. You'll also be able to hear this interview with Jason Altmaier. But this is one, and you know exactly when to do it as far as going across that aisle, a little bipartisanship, that Republicans on the state and national level and Democrats both understand how significant this project is.
We do, but of course West Virginia and Ohio also understands that this would be just as big for them as it would be for us. And you know, they all bring different things to the table, and we at the federal level have certain things that we can do. At the state level, unfortunately, a lot of this comes down to providing incentives and playing that game of you know, what can the other state do to compete on the offering tax benefits and so forth. And I know that Governor Corbett and everyone else involved is doing everything they can to position Pennsylvania. I'm sure they're going to put the best deal on the table that's possible. And the local officials, the commissioners in Beaver County and the local officials in that area are doing everything they can. So it is a team effort, but you know, we can't pretend like West Virginia and Ohio aren't all pulling together too. This is going to be a battle. But I understand it's going to be probably a couple of months and we're going to know the site that's selected.
But you know what amazes me about Chuck, and look, don't work for Chuck. We're just friends, and that's what we will always be, because I'm just here wanting to preach a message of hope, and that's how I've always been, and that's why I will continue to use my hammer, which I call my microphone. But he is not a highly educated man as far as, you know, degrees, nor am I, but he is a man who has literally grown up not on the wrong side of the tracks, probably right in the middle of the tracks, but he found his way out, and he found his way back to the streets of the town that he loves. He's giving jobs to people that literally were in on the wrong side of the law, if you will, and decided to pluck them out of just despair, hell, if you will, and put them in a position where they're now proud men that will make eye contact with you. They talk about their families. They're paying their mortgages. They're going to the grocery store. He works them so hard that they have no idea other than, can I get 8 hours sleep before I go back to work? So I'm not causing any trouble. But I just believe in my heart, the place, West Virginia that you speak of, and Maryland and other places, they don't have, in my opinion, a Chuck Betters. And you need that T-bone Pickens. You need that Ross Perot. You need that Chuck Betters. You need those mavericks to work alongside people in government to get jobs like this done. Don't you agree?
Oh, you're right. And that's what he is. I think you described perfectly his background and his motivations. And I honestly cannot think of anybody in our community who is doing more to put us in position to succeed on this project, but in the long haul to turn things around in a place like Aliquippa than Chuck. And I've been down there. I visited the site. I've sat down with him to hear his vision of where he wants to go. And I don't know that he gets a lot of credit or as much credit as he should for all of the
A lot of that, let me say this. He's a very humble man, and he's not flashy. He does more for people in need than anyone will ever know, especially children that are sick. And a lot of it's in memory of his late daughter who died much too young. But he has the CJ Betters Holiday Basketball Tournament, does many, many other things. And he really doesn't want to be in the forefront. But as I told him, sometimes you have to stand up and be recognized. And, you know, people like you can only do so much, because Chuck, he just speaks in language that I think more people understand, that even you and I can communicate to, because he's real. And, you know, he said to me one day, many of us would be like 15, I'm growing up on my own, I'm on the streets, I have to make a living, I would be bitter. And he said, you know, my dad probably did me the biggest favor ever because he taught me to survive. And what he's trying to show people is that if you have the will, you can survive. And to me, that's the measure of a man, giving someone hope and letting them know that they can survive, because where their hope is determination. And if you put those two together, it's a winning combination. I'm coming right back. Jason Altmaier, Congressman, 4th District, next.
Yeah, that's right. He said it.
Are you serious?
He said it, and he'll probably say it again.
No, I'm not saying it again.
Find out what Mike Pintek is talking about.
I can't believe this.
Weekdays, noon to 3.
Since when? Is that something new?
Here's Radio 1020, KDKA. You're locked in to the Rob Pratt Show. It's what Pittsburgh's talking about. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Back with Jason Altmaier. You know, Jason, I was so pleased to see you with the president, a man that I do have the utmost respect for. Anybody, I don't care their party affiliation, they're in that position, man or woman, you've got to give him credit. You've got to support him. Do you think with everything going on in his world that he understands if you were to say to him, look, this site means a lot to us in Aliquippa, and as I said to you, maybe we can't offer the tax incentives that a West Virginia can, but I have to believe, because it is a turnkey operation where, you know, they can start literally putting beams of steel up as we speak. And with this dock, which is ready to go in the rail service, and now Chuck has found a way to get, you know, internet service down across those tracks to his office. I just have to believe what they're going to save in startup cost and what they're going to be able to save in the long run, and being welcomed as they will be in a community and all of the other companies that will be able to spring up around it. If you would go to a president and say, look, this is an area that has seen better days. We need to jumpstart them. Is he the type of man that would listen, and could the president make a difference in this?
I don't know in this case that that's the appropriate play. I mean, the answer to your question is yes. I mean, certainly any member of Congress fighting for what's happening in their district, that would be an appropriate conversation to have, and we have done that in some cases. But this is going to be Shell making the decision on a site, and there are going, we're all optimistic that this can happen, and we're working together to help make it happen. It's a business decision from Shell, but it's not the last time this is going to happen. If it doesn't work this time, there are going to be others down the road. We continue to be well positioned because of the assets you and I just talked about, and we're going to keep fighting. But this has been an exercise that we have not gone through in Western Pennsylvania, maybe with the exception of Westinghouse, which was looking at out-of-state locations before they put their corporate headquarters in Cranberry. But we haven't done this very often recently, so the fact that we're even having this conversation shows that we're making big strides in Western Pennsylvania.
Obviously, you are all a lot calmer men than I, because you deal with this type of stuff every day, but you've always been honest with me, and I'm just going to ask you, is this the highest stakes game that you have played as a member of Congress when it comes to your district securing jobs, meaning thousands of them for your region?
This is obviously very big. Just when you talk about high stakes, I think back to the Haiti earthquake and the rescue mission for the orphans when we went down there and were able to bring back some constituents and 54 orphans under their care. I don't think anything's going to match the drama that was involved.
But that's a humanitarian thing, and I agree with you on that. But I'm talking about actually bringing jobs to people that are in desperate need right in our own backyard.
Well, again, Westinghouse is not so far in the rearview mirror. Remember, they could easily have gone to North Carolina.
God bless them.
And just in the past 5 years, they've created between 5,000 and 6,000 jobs.
That's incredible.
For our region. So don't sell short the effort that was made to keep them here and everyone that was involved. And this is a similar type project that we're talking about, and the exponential growth from the related industries and the spinoffs would be just as big.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I will always admire Dan Onorato, because he knew, okay, so Allegheny County we can't do what we want, but I don't want to lose them, so I will step back and do everything I can to embrace them. Don't you agree, though, if this thing happens at the J&L site, and if you're able to complete a Crow's Run project, and obviously if you had more tax dollars coming in from a Shell refinery and the companies that could spring up around it, you'd be able to kind of push it a little bit, because a lot of people are arguing more bridges, more roads. Okay, that's fine, but we need people traveling them to be able to go to good paying jobs. So this would be a plum, as Cranberry was for the region. And maybe if you were able to connect the two, it would benefit a Shell and a Westinghouse to be able to have a 5 to 10 minute drive to get from point A to point B, as opposed to the way we're going now. Right or wrong?
Absolutely. A big part of this is going to be our transportation infrastructure and the infrastructure that we have, including the locks and dams and the waterways. Commerce is going to see a tremendous upgrade if a project like this comes in, because it's going to be required in order for them to grow and thrive.
Jason, in the couple of moments that we have left, please, if you will, the fallen officer, this is real, and this is something that we need to talk about. How tragic is that, other than obviously the aspect of an officer being shot and killed, but when it comes to the morale of that community? I'm sure you've talked to family and friends there. How are they taking it? Are they numb? And I hope that many people remember that he didn't die in vain, because he was doing what he loved to do, and his memory will be with us for many, many generations to come. But as far as the community, how hard has it hit that community of Lower Borough?
Well, remember first and foremost that, you know, he had a wife and two kids, and his parents are still in that community. And they were very active, continue to be very active in the school. And he was known all around the community because he was the canine officer. And nothing like this has ever happened in Lower Borough. And the fact that the rest of Western Pennsylvania has come together and the outpouring of support, I'm sure, has helped the family. But it's indescribable the impact it's had on the community as a whole, because we've never experienced anything like this before.
Well, our thoughts and prayers go out to that community, and obviously his wife and children and immediate family and friends. It's a very difficult thing to deal with, and we are so lucky and blessed to have people like him and others that are protecting us every day. May he rest in peace. Jason, thank you so much. Hopefully we'll have some good news before the end of the year for the district. But I know one thing, you'll keep trying no matter what. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rob. Good talking to you.
Jason Altmaier, Congressman the 4th District. And I'm going to try to secure Chuck Betters on this radio show in the next couple of months when things slow down. He's a maverick. He's a man on a mission. And if you know his story, you understand that. And if you have a chance to see that site, I don't care where you are in the business as far as the corporate world, if you have something that can go there, you need to go there. There is nothing like it in Western Pennsylvania. We'll be back.
Every morning, learn the issues with the KDKA Morning News. Weekdays 5 to 9.
You'll hear from your Pittsburgh Steelers what they have to say in the locker room at 6:40. And wait till you hear what the NFL is forcing teams to do at 8:10.
It was once described as the silent killer in your home, but you don't hear much about it anymore. We'll talk about that at 6:10.
Larry Richard and John Shumway on the KDKA Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. News Radio 1020 KDKA. The Rob Pratt Show. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Thanks to Dave Mazza, Pennsylvania Resources Council. Big tailgate recycling weekend at the Steeler game tomorrow against Jacksonville that starts at 1. Of course, State Senator John Pippy and Jason Altmaier, Congressman 4th District. Both of those interviews can be heard at kdkradio.com.